Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's time for a holiday completely unnecessary podcast for Tuesday, December 29th, 2015, the last one of the year, alongside Ian Ferguson.
Hello.
I'm Pat Contry. We're going to talk about a lot of cool stuff this time out. You know, we're going to try. I mean, there's not a huge amount of stuff going on. I was going to say up front.
Let's be honest. We're scraping the bottom of the barrel here.
Man sues Bethesda for Fallout 4 addiction. Talk about a new all-in-one retro game console on Indiegogo. A scumbag seller of the week that returns. Steam account issues around Christmas time. A fake Pokemon Heart Gold DS game from GameStop. Movie stuff. We're going to talk about The Force Awakens. Yeah, it came out a week and a half ago. We're still going to talk about it and review it. George Lucas reveals why he wanted Greedo to shoot first. The Deadpool trailer came out. Your Q&A and a lot of stuff that you guys gave us we're going to unwrap. And I got Ian a present as well. But first, we have a sponsor.
And now a message from our sponsor, Embraceware. Hey guys, Jerry here from Embraceware. We're inviting anyone interested in providing us with feedback on upcoming games to email us at insiders@embraceware.com. You can also check us out on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We're at /embraceware on each. So for example, facebook.com/embraceware. We'd also like to wish you and your listeners a happy new year. Thanks, Jerry. We look forward to sponsoring the show throughout 2016. So check them out at embraceware.com.
All right. So, Ian, how was your Christmas? You celebrate, right?
I did.
At this point, Christmas is sort of non-religious anyway.
Yeah. No, it's an excuse to get together and sit around with friends. Normally, my friends and I don't do a whole lot of gift exchanging, but this year we kind of did. It went fast though, just because I've been working basically all month, with very few breaks. So
working overtime,
fighting
crime,
yeah,
fighting crime.
So, it went by quick, but it was good. And, there was a lot of tamales involved and,
with work or the holidays?
The holiday. we bought 3 dozen tamales.
Wow.
Yeah. And then my brother and my sister-in-law sent me my favorite pizza from Buffalo. It's Bocce's Pizza.
Good?
Yeah, it's very good. And, you know, so we had that for breakfast on Christmas morning.
Nice.
It was good. It was just, like I said, it was kind of over in the blink of an eye and then back to work. I'm looking forward to the New Year's days off.
You're going to get a couple days off?
I'm going to actually, I'm really looking forward to it. I get New Year's Eve and New Year's Day off, then I have to work Saturday, and then I get Sunday, Monday off. So this will be my first time in a month to really, like, catch up on all the stuff I need to do.
That'd be cool to have a few days off. That'd be awesome. Christmas is always the feast of the seven fish. You know, Italian Christmas Eve dinner, you have to have at least 7 fish, or else, I don't know, you're thrown out of the ethnic group.
Different fish or
different? Not yeah, not just having 7 pieces of cod. Yes.
Oh, okay.
So you know, you got your bacala salad. You got we had a swarve of linguine with like lobster in there, and shrimp, and huge ass scallops, and we covered our fish bases. We did, even though a lot of those are mollusks.
I was gonna say those are crustaceans and mollusks.
Okay, Italians aren't the best on zoology. You know? It's like a technical, but it's great. Except that you eat so much food that you gain like 14 pounds. So, and then we're not talking about the antipasta, which is a meal unto itself.
Yeah,
I'm getting hungry just thinking about it, even though I shouldn't since I ate so much of it. You know, all your fresh mozzarella, your provolone, all your prosciutto, you know, capicola, stuff like that, salami, pepperoni. You have your a mushroom salad. Mary mushroom salad. My grandma used to make
salad.
We bought it from a place in Little Italy, but my grandma used to make it. The eggplant, what is it called? The gabbadillo. The eggplant marinated, like, I don't know how they prepare it, but they put little bits of carrots in it. It's freaking ridiculously good.
I love eggplant.
So that could be a meal in and of itself, but that's just round one until you get to, again, salivating. Linguine and all the other fish, and then the salad, and you have this great. Frank buys the bread loaves only half baked, so you get it. You put them in the oven, sort of like fresh, and it's Fantastic.
The pizza sent to me half baked too.
Oh, it was
same
okay.
way. So like, yeah, so when you finish
it's
it, like
fresh.
It honestly tastes. It's
close.
It's goddamn close enough to out of the oven.
Yes.
It
has that taste of freshly baked that you can't easily replicate.
Yep.
And then the Italian pastries are absolutely off the charts. You know,
sure.
Italian desserts are very underrated. And then having cookies.
A good cannoli is one of my favorite things.
We don't focus on that. We focus on other stuff. Rumbabies, for example, is absolutely insane. Sfogliatelle, which is funny because you can't spell it how it's like SOFG something, but it's called, it's a sfogliatelle. It's like a crusty little guy, and it's great. And then you have the Torronis, which is the nugget things, that the Italian little nugget.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's different, like, there's vanilla, and there's... You can buy Torroni anytime, just like... You can go out to Little Italy and buy a block of it, of the nugget, but they're individually little boxes. You have lemon, orange, and vanilla.
Nice.
So besides all the chocolate you get in candy, you want to explode. So I've been forced myself to lug my ass to the gym to try to stave off the extra 5 pounds.
I'm not sure
it's worked or not, but I'm trying.
With being sick and my schedule, I have not been able to go to the gym much in the past 2 weeks. However, I only gained 2 pounds over the holidays.
That's actually really good if you only gain 2 pounds.
I really
then again,
did.
They're not over yet until another few days.
No, but I really did try to watch what, because I was sick and I couldn't go to the gym, I was like extra cautious over what I was eating, so... Even though I ate a lot of fatty stuff, I tried not to, like, overdo it.
Sure. The Kickstarter for the book ended on the 22nd. Thank you for your support. I'm going to try to get the pre-orders going again somehow, since people are asking about it. So stay tuned for that. New NES Punk video. By the time you heard this, it's out. It's the Pat the NES Punk Star Wars Holiday Special. Cliched? I don't care. Because Star Wars just came out, I couldn't think of any other idea of something to review, since they're all taken, all the holiday games. And I reviewed the Star Wars game. It's not a spoiler, or maybe it is. It's out by the time you hear this stuff.
Yeah, you know, the Star Wars is a fun time.
The Star Wars is a fun time.
So, I mean, just, you know.
You want to jump into the topic?
Do the Star Wars. Why don't we just start with Star Wars? Why don't
you want to start? You want to go off the charts? Just,
I mean, fuck it. We'll start with Star Wars.
All right, so we saw The Force Awakens. Obviously, it came out the 18th. That's like a week and a half, almost 11 days since... recording since it came out. So we both saw the movie. I saw it 2 days in on that Saturday.
I saw it Christmas,
Saturday morning.
Christmas Day.
You saw it Christmas Day. So what did you think of the movie, Ian?
Are we doing spoilers or no spoilers here?
We're doing spoilers.
We're doing spoilers. All right. So I went into... So some fucking dickwad fucking spoiled the one of the key pivotal moments for me. And I got over it. But I was going into it, I kept thinking about the death of Han.
But wasn't that a foregone conclusion?
But that's the thing. Like, it was, to me, a lot of other people looked at me like I was crazy when I said I thought it was kind of just basically guaranteed to happen. But anyways, I would have liked to have just, you know, experienced that for myself.
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple of hints at it. One of the biggest hints to me was probably, I hate to say it, Han Solo. Harrison Ford probably said, I ain't doing this unless you kill off Han Solo, because he wanted to be killed off in Return of the Jedi. You know, he almost didn't do Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
He wasn't really interested in that
The thing. I mean, he hasn't been really interested in that character. And the thing is I think he kind of was by the end of Force Awakens, because he acted his dick off in that movie.
Yeah, Harrison Ford, that was the live... We're skipping around, but that was the liveliest I've seen Harrison Ford in a movie in I don't know how long. Probably him doing the Clancy movies in the early 90s,
yeah.
You know.
So for someone who doesn't like the character, he certainly conveyed liking the character.
Well, he's my favorite character.
He looked like he was having fun.
Yeah.
Anyways, going in, didn't know what to expect. Throughout the movie, I enjoyed it. I thought Rey was fucking fantastic. I thought Finn was fantastic. Poe Dameron, for the amount of time he was on screen, shows promise. I did get a little tired of the constant referencing. I mean, it wasn't really referencing. I mean, it was in a lot of regards. It's not a remake or a reboot, but they went back to the well so many times.
On the structure or on the references? Little references.
The references. The references were fine. It was the structure. It was a combination of both. But here's what I'm saying, because...
I was going to say, both bother you then. Okay.
But the further I got away from seeing the movie, the less it bothered me. I liked the movie when I left.
Did the references take you out? Of the movie?
Yes, eventually they took me out of the movie.
Stuff like the power droid on Jakku, no, but then maybe seeing the helmet in the Millennium Falcon along with the little force ball.
No, it was things like another trench run.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, that really kind of pulled me out of it. I'm like, really? But, you know, I came away from the movie still liking it. And then as time went on, even that night, I was like, you know what? I bet you if I went and saw this a second time, and I think I'm going to on one of the cheapy nights, I'm like, I bet you I'd like it a lot more because I wouldn't be constantly waiting for that next reference to drop. Now that I know everything that's going to come, I can just kind of sit back and enjoy it.
Sure.
So for me, it was great. And I think one of my favorite parts of that movie, and this is kind of divisive, but I think you agree with me on this, is that I thought Kylo Ren was fucking fantastic. I thought he was a fantastic villain.
You said that's divisive? I don't think that's divisive. I think most people agree that he was a really interesting villain.
Well, I've talked to some friends who did not like him, and it's we had mentioned this, you know, briefly before the podcast, but people were complaining about how he kind of got his ass kicked at the end.
Well, is that to me is though different from the conversation of is he an interesting villain? To me, they're two different conversations.
Okay, sure. He's an interesting villain, but I mean, like I said, I love him. But I had a lot of friends who were like, well, what are they going to do now that, you know, he's had his ass kicked by the main character? And I said, well, I looked at him, and I couldn't believe it when my buddy said that to me, because I looked at him and I said, they're both young. They're both starting on divergent paths. You know,
it wasn't a clean fight.
It wasn't a clean fight.
In any sense of the word.
Not in any direction.
In terms of the circumstances.
And I mean, it's the start.
Plus, people forget that was...
Not the end.
I mean, they had a little back and forth, but... There's no real history between those two characters yet, between Rey and Kylo Ren. They have to build that up over the course of films. Otherwise, it's a shitty throwaway character like fucking Darth Maul.
Right, and that's...
You know, like, who gives a shit? He looks cool, great. He's a sucky-ass henchman.
Yeah.
You know.
So, I that didn't bother me at all because, you know they talk about his training. They're going to complete his training at the end. You know, this is going to be a story where it's not a bunch of ragtag... rebels trying to fight a perfect from the start villain in Vader. It's going to be, you know, the light and the dark, you know, basically, you know, training to their apex probably until the third movie and then having a great payoff.
Yeah.
And that I'm excited by that idea.
Going back to Kylo Ren being the spoilers, being the son of Leia and Han, I like that there wasn't a huge reveal to Echo Empire. And this movie did have elements of probably all three movies of the original trilogy.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? But I like the fact that they said they kind of hinted, but then it's like, yeah, he's our kid in the middle of the movie. It's like, all right.
They played it off like nothing too. Like,
but that's the way to do it, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if they echoed on the bridge, "You are my son," I would have then rolled my eyes and been totally, you know, that would be too much for me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like. It was good that even when he took off his mask, which is a great moment.
Oh, I was so happy they did that early on
because then he's a good looking, almost looks like an old, like he looks like a princely character out of like a 1930s like Errol Flynn movie.
Plus,
that's what it looks like.
It further establishes him as different from Darth Vader,
and he's evil.
Immediately, he's humanized.
He's humanized, but he's ugly on the inside. You know, versus just being scarred and a robot. I like that. I like that he is trying to replicate what Darth Vader was by having a mask that changed the voice, which kind of looks like... they're both based on samurai masks. That's what Darth Vader's look is,
right?
Like a samurai. But having the mask, having the black, having the cloak and everything, but he's not... Rey says it. Says, you're not Darth Vader, you're not going to be as powerful as Vader.
Right.
And that pisses him off. I like the fact that he wasn't perfect. He's not a Sith Lord. He's just a, quote-unquote, whatever, dark Jedi or Jedi... Or Jedi in training using these powers for bad.
And I love that he wasn't completely under control. I love that he threw fucking hissy fits.
Yes,
just fucking cut up an entire room with his saber.
And the second time
was
hysterical as a joke. With the stormtroopers like, oh, they turn around.
Let's
talk about the humor. This was the funniest Star Wars when we buy a country mile.
And I felt like it was all genuine humor.
And it was all based on the characters. It wasn't random CG animals farting. It wasn't Jar Jar doing a step and fetch it act and you cringing at it. It was character humor. One of the funniest lines, thank God you see Han Solo be a smuggler in this movie.
Yes.
He always alluded, you see him be a smuggler, and it's one of the best scenes. You can say what you want about the CG creature chasing him, but the build up, the two gangs, both after Han for screwing him over, and him trying to talk his way out of it, that's classic Han Solo that you have bits and pieces of in the other movie, especially the first one in Empire, in Return of the Jedi, he's comatose, because they didn't decide not to write the character in Return of the Jedi. You have the two gangs on both sides, and one of the best lines
is the, I want to say they're like almost like a, they look and act like a Mongol gang, the second game. The first one's like the like Scottish gang or whatever. And so they say, you know, Saul, this is a second time you've screwed us over. And then Saul almost knocked me in the meat. Wait a minute, what was the second time? And it was just so funny. And that was such a Han Solo thing to say. And like you said before, it was so great to see Han Solo. It was really was a Han Solo
movie. That's what I said.
Which is fantastic.
Yes.
Because he got, like I said, he got screwed out of Return of the Jedi. One of the reasons probably didn't want to be in the movie because he had absolutely zero character arc in Return of the Jedi. Hell, you can say that Leia didn't have a character arc in the third one besides finding out she's a sister, which was bullshit. And then Luke's character arc was just, I got to turn my father and not be swayed by the dark side. So the character drama...
I really like Jedi, but I mean...
It's a fine movie, but there's no character development, really, especially for Solo and Leia.
When you jam Empire with so much shit, I mean, you're like, well, we got to make three of them.
there was nowhere for Solo to go unless they had him maybe be not want to help out, save the rebellion, kind of like in the first one, and go through that again. But they didn't do anything.
Did we mention it yet? Because, I mean, that was another telltale giveaway, is that, I mean, Ford wanted Solo to die in
Return of Jedi. Yeah. And I think in one of the earlier scripts, at least the Millennium Falcon is destroyed with Lando on board, but then they got rid of that. Because hey, why have anything bad happen in a Lucasfilm when he takes back over the franchise, basically Return of the Jedi? Yeah. Anyway, so I was very satisfied with the movie. I was trying to tune the nostalgia down in terms of my being objective in terms of how I was looking at it. If you can be objective about it, I'd say it was a solid like 8 out of 10. You know, like, it was really entertaining. I got over the constant callbacks. What I thought was going to take me out of the movie, but I thought was refreshing, there was colloquialisms in the movie, in the dialogue, that you did not expect to see in a Star Wars movie. Stuff from Finn screaming, "Did you see that? Did you see that?"
Yeah, and it was like,
well, that's kind of a modern sort of thing to say. You wouldn't expect it in a Star Wars movie. Or when Poe gets interrogated, one of my favorite parts of the movie goes, "So, do you start or do I start?" Smart stuff. Not saying that couldn't be said in another Star Wars movie, but that sort of really overly sarcastic, almost self-awareness.
It modernized it without having a rap dance number and a record scratch back.
It was on the edge.
Right.
Like, it wasn't Will Smith, that's what I call a close encounter. You know what I mean? Like, it was a little edgy. It was edgy for Star Wars, if you say it. It was not like they were cursing and dropping F-bars, but it was about as edgy you can get for a... For a Star Wars film,
in terms of that stuff, I'm never going to look back and find it cringe inducing.
Yeah, or when Finn goes to Rey's, you got a boyfriend or whatever. It's like it was funnier more than it was risk taking in terms of it being out of place.
But to go back to it, I think it made the characters
relatable,
human, yes. Relatable, believable.
Because one of the best parts of the original Star Wars is that. They're yelling at each other. The Death Star, like, "What are you doing? I tried it. It's magnetically sealed. Put that gun where it gets killed." And just going at each other like real human beings. Mm. Because in the prequels, that doesn't happen at all.
No,
they're all just very just measured and holy like monks talking like this about the Empire and
such a fucking wooden movie.
We've lost our Jedi powers. Series. Well, let's just decide what's happening with the war and no emotion at all.
Midichlorians,
yes. By the way, there is zero mention of the prequels in these movies at all.
Yeah.
None.
Nope.
They mention clones once, but that's not even a prequel thing since they mentioned the Clone Wars and A New Hope. So I was very satisfied. I think Poe, they're going to take more time to develop him. I was surprised he dropped off the middle of the film. I was not expecting that. But he started the film, which also surprised me that he was the guy starting
the film. They're going to use him as kind of the new Han. And since this was a Han movie, it only made sense to not have two similar characters in the middle of it.
But it felt like Star Wars. I know it's a weird thing to say, but the intangible sort of feeling of Star Wars, this had it. The feeling of just the atmosphere, even the fact that it starts very darkly with seeing the stormtroopers raise the town and kill everyone in cold blood. It felt like, wow, this feels like a Star Wars film.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like, wow, real sets. Stormtroopers with flamethrowers, and you got Phasma there. The blood... on the Stormtrooper helmet, which you find out is Finn, and just even humanizing the Stormtroopers, you start from their perspective getting dropped in,
right?
And you have the one Stormtrooper talk to the other one like, "Hey, I'll help you out. Stay with me."
Yeah.
So Finn like, "Oh, that's interesting. They're actually showing a different angle, because in the first movie you don't even see any emotion really from the Stormtroopers.
No, they're just targets.
They're just like
that shoot really poorly.
Yeah. Yeah, they shoot a little better in this one. Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite things was about the movie, and this is such a small thing, but for whatever reason, I was obsessed with it as a kid. They show both targeting screens. They show the TIE targeting screen, and they show the X-wing. No, they show the Millennium Falcon targeting screen. And I don't know why. I always loved those as a kid because they looked so video gamey, and they did not change a single goddamn thing.